Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay. And you know today's date is February the 19th, 2020. Yes, 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 ladies and gentlemen, we have a very, very exciting show for you today. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, our call-in number is 646-668-2948. And you know I'm your host, Ronald Bethay. Same place, same location, here on the World Wide Web on Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting, screaming over Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. From right outside of your nation's capital in beautiful Tacoma Park, Maryland. And you know, welcome to Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And ladies and gentlemen, once again, you know if you join us on a regular basis, you know this show is brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which serves as a, in our slogan for this show, if there's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. Now, the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, is a blueprint for self-economic, self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation and design companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the unemployment and unemployment of young Black men and women locally and nationally, also to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education through Black community outreach radio talk formats such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. It is also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, which you will be able to log on to our website at positivechangepc.com. At positivechangepc.com, you'll be able to click on our news and events tab. And if once you click on our news and events tab, you'll be able to get information concerning our Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. Now, our goal is to raise $68,000 for this particular project, and you can go there now and you make the contributions. But the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative has set up the goal of this national syndicated radio show is to take this to a national syndicated radio show. Solar Now and the future with its economic impact, and as we shared with you, which is our slogan, if it's power in numbers, the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, captures that power for your financial benefit. Now, the show serves as a national platform for Black American consumers that will be affected by federal, state, and municipal mandates. We have had interviews with private, public, and nonprofit sector stakeholders talking about the benefits of installing solar panels and every subject matter of economic interest surrounding the solar and renewable energy industry. Now, this show has served true to its form. Guests have discussed the important roles Black Americans play every day in their everyday jobs in the solar and energy industry. The show has served as a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African American solar installation companies. As we've indicated, two effects: the high energy costs at historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects, to create employment opportunities to help bring down the numbers of unemployed and underemployed young men and women locally and nationally. Has served as a national platform in educating the Black community locally and nationally about the impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education through Black community, through Black talk radio programs such as Solar Now in the future with its economic impact on Black America. We've targeted our HBC, 106 of our historically Black colleges and universities, to become NABCEP continuing education certified training providers through the North American Board of Certified Electrical Practitioners. That is what that abbreviation stands for. We like to make it plain here on Solar Now in the future with its economic impact before our listening audience. Now, as I said, the continuing education certificate training providers through their continuing education and workforce development programs working in conjunction with Kaplan University out of El Paso, Texas, to provide online training in their local market areas and places for those interested candidates who might be in that community. Also to encourage HBCUs with workforce to develop workforce development programs in conjunction with local SOCA companies in their marketplaces to help them develop apprenticeship training programs for individuals successfully completing the NACEP Continuing Education Workforce Development Training Program to encourage HBCUs, small business development centers, to identify students majoring in business administration at our historically Black colleges and universities to assist local solar companies in writing proposals targeting both local and federal grants to develop training programs, reducing the time and resources needed for smaller companies in their marketplaces to complete the application process for grants. That's very, very important, ladies and gentlemen, to encourage HBCUs to enter into more public-private partnerships with solar companies and private investment companies to set up more solar farms on African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses nationally. We have beat the drum and talked about that issue, and if you followed us and you heard last week's show with Mr. Larry Shirley Jr. out of Jackson, Mississippi, with Dow Solar U.S., his company, talk about the issues facing African-American farmers and black families who have land in Mississippi who want to develop large-scale solar power plants as well as wind farms, and the impact that a regulated market has in terms of suppressing the actual price that they can get for the energy generated by that farm makes it impossible or cost prohibitive to even consider breaking ground to build one of these large-scale solar plants unless there is a program similar to the program that Duke Energy has filed in the state of North Carolina and South Carolina with the Public Service Commission. In those states, it was called a GSA program, which basically addresses the issue of large-scale commercial energy contractors or purchasers from the utility will be able to negotiate directly with smaller power, solar power, and wind farm developers and negotiate the terms of contract in terms of financing 15, 20, and 25 years, which brings it in line with the PACE program put out by the federal government and the REAP program put out by the federal government, which gives those the potential developers more financing options to be able to bring the necessary venture capital, which is so badly needed in the African American community, to the table. Now, these are all wrapped up in what we're about in our goals and objectives of the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, because we serve as a marketing and advertising component for all the African-American solar installation and design companies doing business in the United States. Out of approximately over 9,000 solar installation companies, we got about 30 African-American companies, which to me is a tragedy. Now, we're going to get on and keep moving on with our program. But when we begin to look at some of our other objectives, is to leverage the current Department of Agriculture, Department of Energy, EPA grants to be certified for under and unemployment youth. Now, you can read more. You can join our cooperative, make a contribution to our cooperative, but this campaign is something that we must get out to our listening audience, because it is absolutely necessary that we address the issues of this new green economy being spurred by climate change, and with the billions of dollars of investment coming into this area. Now, that brings us to today's topic that we'll be talking about. ChargePoint commits $1 billion to expand EV charging as Ozzy Cortez, the congresswoman from New York, and others unveil bills for a national network of EV chargers. We're going to be talking about the infrastructure bill, which is coming out of the Department of Transportation. There is $1 billion there for building EV infrastructure charging stations nationwide. And this particular article ties this in. Now, what we need to look at is how are our colleges and universities, and our historically black colleges and universities specifically, positioning themselves to take advantage of this windfall that's here now. when you begin to look at where some of our schools are strategically located. I'm going to use an example here in the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. market area. Bowie State University, which is the oldest HBCU in the state of Maryland, which was established in 1865, is strategically located. If you know anything about Bowie, Maryland, you know that it is considered a middle-class black community of upscale homes located in Prince George's County, Maryland, right outside of the District of Columbia. Now, when traveling to Bowie State, you can take two or three routes. You can go out of the Baltimore-Washington Parkway, which is 295, or you can use Route 50, Interstate 50, which is known as New York Avenue in the District of Columbia, which is your nation's capital, which turns into Route 50 traveling east. Let me say this and be very, very clear. In 1865, there was no route Interstate US 50. So when that interstate was built, it was built right through Bowie State University's campus. Lo and behold, they are strategically located to build a large-scale electric vehicle charging hub for large-scale 18-wheelers, battery storage, the whole nine yards. They are set on 300 acres of land. They are one of the few HBCUs that have, in fact, built a solar farm, a seven-acre farm. I have been in negotiations with Bowie State, and we are in the process now. We have developed an economic green five-year sustainability program, which Bowie has chosen to, quote-unquote, write their own after we presented on January 10th of this year the most comprehensive, creative, economic green, economic development sustainability plan for our historically black colleges and universities. And we will put that up, and we'll say that's bar none. Now, I have been awaiting responses from Mr. Eli Allen of Civic Works. I have been waiting a response from Mrs. Sherry Brooks, the founder of the Power 52 group, who are in the workforce development training area, and they are being funded by the state. In a January 10th conference call with a meeting which yours truly held at Bowie State, we were able to get Mr. Eli Allen to join us on that specific conference call. To make a long story short, we are in the process of trying to gather the necessary data that Bowie State has requested, but that won't be done until we have a memorandum of understanding with the university. And it seems that they're not very, very clear on how our corporations, peer consultants, and the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative would be compensated for our work putting together this plan. We presented that to them, and it must have flew under the radar, but yours truly will be definitely responding to that. And the reason why I'm going into this detail over the airways, because there, I want people to be clear at Bowie State, at the HBCU Collaboration Group, which is headed by Mr. Ron Butler out of Miami, Florida. Mr. Larry Sally is chair. He's a part of the Benedict Development Corporation out of Columbia, South Carolina, and Ms. Natasha Campbell, who's an attorney here, and the important person is that the intellectual property that Mrs. Campbell has received, that Bowie State has received, and all parties who requested a copy of our 5-10 point presentation is that this information is the intellectual properties of Peer Consultants and the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative. And none of this should be discussed or shared with anyone without our authorization. So I want to put that out publicly to our listening audience to let people know that this is more than just someone behind a mic just talking. But when we began to look at the geographic value of Bowie State, you have the commuter train that stops directly behind Bowie State's campus in a small commuter parking lot in Bowie, Maryland. And then Route 50, the exit is less than a quarter of a mile when you flip over the bridge and go around the bend, you're at Bowie State University's campus. So they are strategically located for building a large-scale EV charging, electrical charging hub, which can be converted into a situation for commercial development, like hotels and restaurants, while people are waiting there to charge these vehicles because they have the land. They can dedicate 20 acres, which would be a little or nothing. 20 to 30 acres would be more than enough to build a large-scale EV charging hub, which there is billions of dollars flowing in this transportation bill that's being passed in 2020, $1 billion. And we're going to get into that and deal with that even more succinctly with this article, which we are blessed to have. It was written by Robert Walton. It was published on February the 10th, 2020, in Utility Dive. ChargePoint commits $1 billion to expand EV charging as Cortez and others unveil bills for a national EV charging network. ChargePoint and the National Association of Truck Stop Owners, NAS, on February 6th announced $1 billion initiative to deploy electric vehicle EV charging infrastructure. More than 4,000 plazas and fuel stops in the United States in an effort to facilitate greater use of emissions-free along highways and rural areas. Separately, on the same day, a pair of U.S. representatives unveiled the Electric Vehicle Freedom Act to establish a comprehensive nationwide network of high-speed electric chargers within 5 years. The legislation will take the U.S. Department of Transportation and the U.S. Department of Energy with deploying the charging network and would require a plan to be submitted to Congress by 2025. As a separate bill introduced on February the 5th, 2020, the Electric Vehicles for Underserved Communities Act seeks to boost EV charge access in low-income communities and communities of color. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you just heard what I read. Okay? This is legislation coming out of Congress. When it becomes to talk about these communities, underserved communities and communities of color, when you look up, you're going to find that there will be no African Americans with any skin in the game. This information is not being talked about in the business vernacular in the black business community. Dive Insight. The United States exceeds 1 million electric vehicles on the road. This was done in 2018. But experts say reaching for frontier projections will require rapid expansion of charging ports across all areas of the nation and enabling long-distance travel across the nation's highways. We are embarking on a major shift in transportation with electrification poses to fundamentally transform mobility, ChargePoint President and CEO Pasquale Roman said in a statement. The collaboration with the NATSO is vital to a rapid expansion of charging around the country and will ensure that the United States should remain in the forefront in EV revolution, he said. According to the International Energy Agency, the projected share of EVs in 2030 among passenger vehicles in Canada and the United States is over 30% of the vehicles that will still be on the street. ChargePoint and the NATSO said their plans will help link U.S. drivers to a growing charging network in all 50 states and the District of Columbia and significantly increase EV adoption as it accelerates. Ladies and gentlemen, we are on the cutting edge of this. ChargePoint and the NATSO said their plans will help U.S. drivers to a growing charging network in all 50 states and the District of Columbia and significantly increase access to EV adoption, as I said, as it accelerates. The effort will not only enable distant electric vehicle travel among major routes, but also provide vital access to charging in rural communities, the company says. Separately, two pieces of legislation introduced by the U.S. House by the Democratic representatives would put some responsibility for growing charger access on the federal government. The Electric Vehicle Freedom Act, introduced by Representative Andy Levine of Michigan and Alexandria Cortez, Democrat New York, would ensure chargers were built along the country's highways to promote interoperability between vehicle charging and networks, guarantee that payment methods are secured, and require all charging stations to be compliant with the American Disabilities Act. Cortez called the proposal a necessary step in reducing the barriers that have held back greater electric vehicle adoption. Legislation has the support of a broad group of advocates, including the Union of Concerned Scientists, the Sierra Club, Earth Justice, Utility Workers Union of America, United Steel Workers, United Automobile Workers, and the Center of Transportation and Environment. Legislation introduced by Yvette Clark, Democrat from New York, increased access to charging stations to low and income communities, also has support by the Sierra Club. You know what? I've been to the Sierra Club. And after I counted myself and the few African-Americans who were working for the utility company that had to be at those meetings because they didn't have a choice, wasn't no black folks there. This is a strange dichotomy. This is just like my mentor and coach Earl Banks, my legendary college coach who coached at Morgan State College back in the day. I had the privilege of playing for Coach Banks. He used to call us strange birds. He said, champ, that's a strange bird. This is truly a strange bird, ladies and gentlemen, that this conversation is not being had in the black community around electric vehicle infrastructure charging. And we are all paying for this with our tax dollars. If we are going to successfully make the transition to electric vehicles in the next 30 years, the electric vehicles and their charging infrastructure need to become highly accessible to all communities and fast, Clark said in a statement. But she added that in her Brooklyn neighborhood and other cities, I struggle to see significant electric charging infrastructure, especially in low-income communities and communities of color. That's real, folks. I'm not making this up. Now, you can log on to our website at PositiveChangePC.com, at PositiveChangePC.com. You can click on our news and events tab, and you can see this for your own self. The little boy said, you can read it for yourself. You don't have to take our word on it. We are bringing this to you, this information today, ladies and gentlemen, because it all ties, as the little boy said, it all ties in. And that's what we're talking about. How do we bring this information to you so you can see how it affects your pocket? Well, if you got an electric vehicle, this is how it affects your pocket. You don't have to go see. You don't have to replace the engine no more. You don't have to replace the so-called transmission anymore. You don't have to worry about oil changes. You don't have to worry about gasoline. You don't have to worry about a lot of the fluids that you have to put in your radiator system, like the coolants, and all of the different chemicals that goes with a combustion engine, running a combustion engine on a car if you want it to run right. These are the things that this new technology does. And see, the powertrain, which is the electric battery, has no moving parts. So you don't have all of this issues with pistons and valves, and you know, you have no smoke coming out the exhaust pipe, ladies and gentlemen. This is the key to this whole piece. So that's saving dollars, serious money over the lifetime of a family when you begin to look after the investment in the home. The next biggest investment is going to be in transportation. And if you have a PV system on your roof and you're able to get your energy for the sun to operate your home, you put an EV charging resident that can run anywhere between $7 to like $1,000 on the national average in terms of looking at the cost. And you ride and you move and you have transportation for a lifetime. And what you do, you change your brakes and your tires on your vehicle, and you've eliminated major expenditures for a lifetime for transportation. These are the paradigm shifts while helping to save the planet. But I won't regress here on solar now in the future with its economic impact on Black America, but information is there. Now, we're getting ready to sort of shift gears here on the show, and we're sort of going to stay real tight today as it relates to our timeline, because it's time for us to take a pause for the cause, and we'll come right back. And as you know, this show is brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, and the slogan for the show, if it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit.
Life is a song worth singing. I can too. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless.
helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethea, and you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after the dialing the call-in number, because you'll be in our green room. And we want to bring you right up on the platform so we can, as we say, we can have a conversation. Now, another interesting article I found to be very, very informative was we're looking at this article called AMERENS, AMERENS hourly pricing program could reduce EV charging costs almost 90%, a study finds. Now, this particular research is being, this article is written by Robert Walton. It was published on February 11th, 2020 in Utility Dive, which is an outstanding online blog that puts out a lot of the information that we share with our listening audience. Now, a new analysis from the Illinois Consumer Advocate Group, Citizens Utility Board, the club, concludes Amherst customers with an electric vehicle EV could reduce annual charging costs by almost 90% through the utility's PowerSmart pricing rate. Now, the dynamic rate offered is based on day ahead price in the Mid-Continent ISO and is open to all Amherst residential customers. The club analysis shows potential savings be most significant for electric vehicle owners. The report examines the 2018 rates and concluded potential savings for electric vehicle owners range from $54 to $379 that year, compared to with paying the utility's traditional electric prices. According to the utility, more than 13,000 customers have signed up for the PowerSmart pricing PSP program and so far have saved more than $12 million. In the insight looked at this, it specifies that the club analysis indicate that most customers would likely not realize all of the potential savings, but the group says the study makes a strong argument for opt-out rates for EV owners. With the aid of Philosophic, the syndicated sensor and data analysis capabilities pre-validate the vehicle charging technology, utilities could isolate EV-related consumption, make a separate opt-out policy feasible, for which the report concludes the analysis used by the 2018 MISO location marginalized, it gives you a marginal price to compare with perfectly rational EV drivers would pay to charge their vehicles on Amherst PowerSmart pricing program, which they put together. Electricity customers are hungry for good choices in the market, and the PowerSmart pricing is one of the best, whether you drive an electric vehicle are not, Club Executive Director David Colote said in his statement. Well, hell, what do you expect him to say? He's trying to sell something. The advocacy group is currently lobbying Illinois' lawmakers to pass the Clean Energy Jobs Act, which includes electrification provisions to encourage off-peak EV charging. Colletta says the bill would help to make sure that the grid is prepared for the rise of EVs by connecting drivers to pricing programs like American AMERENS. AMERENS said it's estimates about 3,400 electric vehicles are owned in its service territory. Most customers tell us they are satisfied with the program, as AMERENS spokesperson said in an email. We expect PSP enrollments to grow as consumers acquire more in-home devices that enable them to manage and track their usage. This is part of what people who have the resources to invest in this technology, which in the black community is not there unless it's going to be subsidized. The club's analysis of the program's potential for EV drivers include three representative EVs, the 2018 Toyota Primus Prime, the 2018 Chevy Bolt, and the Tesla 3 long range, researchers say, also use off the self representative level 2 and 3 chargers to estimate the maximum achievable charge rate. The club calculated by the EV driver Amaria's flat rate energy tariff to meet their daily driving needs, that compare that to the lowest available rates on the PSP program. AMERENS' dynamic pricing program would have saved EV owners significantly over its flat rate tariff in 2018, with cost reductions from 86% to 88%, equaling as much as $379 over the study period, the club found. The group says the programs like AMERENS help reduce peak electricity demand, ease stress on the grid, helping to prevent cost power outages. It also avoids the need to fire up expensive peak power plants, cutting pollution and lowering electricity costs for everyone. There's more than 1 million EVs owned in the United States, but the figure is expected to increase sharply in the coming years. According to the Edison Institute, a jump in sales over the next decade will mean 19 million emissions-free vehicles on U.S. roads by 2030. Ladies and gentlemen, the theme is still electric vehicles, infrastructure. How does the black community cash in on this upcoming opportunity? I don't know how to make it plainer. As I indicated, you can go to my website at Positive Change PC, our organization, the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC. You can click on our news and events link, scroll down, and read this information for yourselves. I'm not making this information up. Ladies and gentlemen, we have an issue in the black community with leadership, especially around, and it tied into our HBCUs, in our community colleges and universities, we must get our young people up to speed with the electric certifications to become those contractors with the charge points in this of this world to do this infrastructure wiring in this arena. It makes only business sense. This is great opportunities for young guys who are coming out, who are veterans, who have the VA program that can get their certifications, get them a van, get in the game. But who is talking about this other than yours truly here on Solar Now and the future with its economic impact on Black America? But I've got to beg and plead to get someone to listen to me is, I think, there's a saying, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting to get a different result is something called insanity. And that's what I see in the so-called Black leadership. Pure madness, because when you begin to address these issues and talk about these issues, they have little or no information on it. And unless it's directly impacting on their jobs or something to do with their check, ain't nobody paying no attention. But let me explain this to you. Everything starts with energy, and everything ends with energy. This is one of the number one reasons why this country, continent of Africa, in a third world state, because if you don't have the energy and the grid infrastructure for manufacturing, you can have all the resources of valuable minerals and resources in the world, but you can't develop it. You can't manufacture it. You can't build the technology base around it to take advantage of it. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is an economic development piece that we must address, ladies and gentlemen, in the Black community. And nobody's addressing this thing but yours truly. So I'm going to keep beating this drum around this green revolution that's being bought on by climate change, but it's got so many tentacles. We need PV installation installers to install the roofs. We need framers. We need attorneys. We need accountants. We need analysts. We need researchers. All of this. We need cybersecurity. We need drone technology, AI, artificial intelligence. All of these technologies tie into this, ladies and gentlemen. As in, it's all in a nice boat. But if somebody don't bring it to you and put it in your face and say, now, how are we preparing our young folks to deal with this? Montgomery College, which is headed by a dynamic African-American sister, Dr. Pollard, they have probably the most comprehensive technical training programs, certification programs in all aspects in the DMV market area. Now, I don't know what everybody has. I'm still doing my homework. I'm still doing my research. Maryland has a very extensive cybersecurity. Most Bowie State has cybersecurity. Morgan, Coppin, all of these schools have some type of cybersecurity programs. I know educational programs up and running. You have to research and find out what these local universities have, Howard University, UDC. You have to find out what they offer and do your homework on these things. But when we begin to talk about the certification programs, Catlin University out based in El Paso, Texas, which is owned by the Washington Post newspaper, provides all these online training courses through the North American Board of Electrical Practitioners, which is, serves as a one of the biggest jump-off points for the workforce development piece, because then you need a classroom, you need an instructor with that has his certification to be in that classroom to oversee these training programs, and you're talking about 10,000, based on the numbers I've been able to get from Mr. Eli Allen with CivicWorks. When you take a person on with a 6 month training program like that, you're talking about $10,000 per young person, and you're talking about a class of 30 people. So you're talking about $300,000 every time you try to launch a workforce development training program. And if you're doing that twice a year, that's $600,000 a year. That's just to train 60 people. So when you begin to look at the numbers and look at what the need is, hey, man, if Maryland is getting $110 million for workforce development training programs for fiscal year 2020, which I got this information directly from Mr. James Rakowski, who is the Assistant Secretary of the Department of Labor for the Department of Workforce Development. He's come under his auspices here in the state of Maryland, and he's saying that, yeah, we're getting $110 million, but the state legislature has all programmed $8 million, and we don't know how that's going to be spent. We got 23 counties in the state with workforce development training programs and only 13. And when you begin to go to our HBCUs and ask them about workforce development training programs in this area, you're going to find it's non-existent. So what I do with this platform here, I bring it 360 degrees as to where we are and where we need to be going. And what people really need to be going, they need to be going online at www.positivechangepc.com, going over to my GoFundMe link and click on the donate button and putting, if this information is valuable to you, you need to be putting something in the kitty so I can get this information syndicated over Mrs. Dr. Kathy Hughes Radio 1 Network with Reach Media, which is Tom Joyner's company based out of Houston, Texas, so I can syndicate this show in 76 African-American radio markets around the country and see if this show won't make a difference. Y'all try me. Try me. You know, it's interesting. People who call me every day that's supposed to be will don't go up and listen to this show, so they don't know what's going on. They don't know what I'm thinking and where I'm going with this thing. But I lay that out through this platform. That's why we set up this show called Solon Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. It's very, very clear that we need to be focusing very, very, very clearly on the develop of large-scale solar and wind power plants on black farmlands, HBCU campuses. We need to be building electric vehicle, EV charging infrastructure on black lands with battery storage backup systems. These are the things that we need to be investing in right now, getting into this game, this economy, this energy economy. It's the wave. It is the future. Now, as we said, they're going to be winners and they're going to be losers. But if you don't take no action, you guarantee to lose. But if you don't have this conversation, and put it into the movers and shakers who got the resources. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about some of the money that's being invested in this here arena as we begin to look at what is going on in this green infrastructure, economic-driven, new technology industry being driven by climate change. That's what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. People aren't, they're not doing this because they want to do it. They're doing it because they don't have a choice. Now, DOE, Department of Energy and Environment, announces $125.5 million for new funding for solar technologies. We're going to take a pause for the cause. We're going to be right back, and we're going to jump in there, and we're going to find out what they're talking about here on Solar Now and the future with its economic impact on Black America. Be right back.
Here's a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome, welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the future with its economic impact on Black America. You know, if you join us on a regular basis, the slogan for the show is power in numbers. Then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we were just talking about how all this ties back in to what? Follow the money. I talked about last week that I was at a summit that was put on by the Alliance here. It was held in the Derrickson Senate Office Building on the 5th of February. And I reached out yesterday for the operating executive director, this gentleman is Clay Nessler. He's the interim president for the Power Alliance. Now, as I began to look at a lot of the research and the data that's put out here, and you begin to follow the dailies on stocks as they're valued, the value goes up, goes down. When you begin to look at what's going on with 5G, when you begin to look at what's going on in the industrial hemp and cannabis industry, and you begin to look at the role that energy plays in those industries and how it impacts cost, everything that's emerging has an energy cost. You can't get around that. Now, Jeff Bezos, Bowles, commits $10 billion to climate change. How should he spend the money? Now, this is an article that was done by Catherine Morehouse. She's, her last name was, it's the same as the big house in Atlanta, Morehouse. University in Atlanta, Georgia, spelled the same way. She did an excellent job on this article, which basically was published today in Utility Dive, talking about billionaire Jeff Bezos, founder and president and CEO of the e-commerce company Amazon, on Monday announced his commitment to providing $10 million fighting climate change. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a must read. Billionaire Jeff Bezos, founder, president, and CEO of e-commerce Amazon, Amazon on Monday announced its commitment to providing $10 million toward fighting climate change. He specifies of the plan where announcing the funding, he said the Bose Earth Fund will provide funding for scientists, activists, NGOs, any effort that offers a real possibility to help preserve and protect the natural world. He'll begin issuing grants this summer and said that $10 billion is the start, but doesn't specify how much more he plans to spend over what time period. Some speculate that the billionaire move was timed to deflect attention from Frontline's release of a documentary that includes criticisms of his technology empire's carbon footprint and rising pressure on the company to the company's employees about not doing enough on climate change. Clearly, this was done quickly. He's not how exactly he wants to spend the money at the moment. It seems it's going to anybody and everybody, as in Parker's political science professor at the University of Washington and founding director of the School Center for Environmental Politics, told Utility Dive story. Well, we're going to definitely contact him because nobody's beating this drum and talking about the climate change and its economic impact on Black America but us. So if you want to fund something that's advocating for those communities who are most disproportionately affected by the climate change and the carbon footprint created by your manufacturing base is the Black community. But I can't raise $68,000 in almost 2 years, and I constantly get information from tech companies telling me what they can do with this website with bells and whistles, and we can get you up on the search engine and somebody can hire you, but just give us some money to do that. I got no problem giving you whatever you need to do that, but as soon as I get it. It works two ways. It's got to come in the door before it can go out the door, because if it don't come in the door, it certainly can't go out the door. So it's give and take. Okay? And most folks don't only understand take, they don't understand give. I understand all 365 degrees of the circle here on this platform, solar now in the future with its economic impact on Black America. So let's see what the people with the money is going to be talking about. Despite the uncertainties, it is clear that most observers that the funding could have a huge impact for fighting climate change. It dwarfs other philanthropy. The RAM, Robert Stevens, professor of energy and economic development, Harvard University, and director of the university's environmental economic programs, told Utility Dive. In short, of raises the level of government action in the climate policy or climate realm, so it's potentially very significant. Michael Bloomberg launched a $500 million, the same Michael Bloomberg running for president, $500 million Beyond the Carbon campaign, the largest coordinated climate change plan in the U.S. at the time, according to Bloomberg Philanthropies. The former New York mayor has launched Beyond Coal in 2011 and has invested $100 million since then on the campaign, which credits himself for the early retirement of half of the country's coal and plants, fleets. Bezos and Bill Gates in 2016 set up a $1 billion venture capital fund to invest in energy startups committed to reducing carbon emissions. In a sum, $10 billion could go a long way. How many startups will be for African Americans based on company needs? How are we getting our young people ready to compete in this market? These are the curriculum issues that need to be asked at our HBCUs. Are you preparing our young people to compete in this arena? And if not, then we got to deal with it. It's an insane scale up for all of the climate funding, and I think it's a genuine question about how is going we're going to get it spent. Lee Spokes, assistant professor of the Energy and Environmental Politics at University of California, Santa Barbara, told Utility Dive, why in the hell don't you invest in research and development at historically black colleges and universities, venture capital for startups for HBCUs, and black farmers to build large-scale wind and solar power plants on their properties, as well as funding and buying black media, spending money with black media around this platform, solar now in the future with its economic impact on black America. If you want to know how the money need to be really spent, now, this show will be sent directly to this gentleman, these CEOs. We beat this, been beating this drum for 4 years. The White House Initiative on HBCUs will be hosting in September another Saturday weekend where all the black college presidents will come to Washington, D.C. Department of Education will have brain trust that these presidents are supposed to participate in, and not one on this area. I'm speaking to today. I've already sent information to these folks about this renewable energy industry and the need for us to deal with this stuff. How should it be spent? Some say the funding would be spent on emerging technologies and scientific research, while others argued targeting policy and advocacy campaigns are the best use for $10 billion. Others say a healthy hybrid is best. An unwise way to spend the money would be to make repeated investment in climate action that already has funding, hereby freeing up those investments to be spent elsewhere, said Stevens. Bowles should ensure that the money does not simply be substitute for other money. Otherwise, there's no additional actions whatsoever, he said. What's most important is for him to, at the very beginning, identify the what are niches that merit support that are not receiving support. Well, I damn sure ain't receiving none here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on black America, because nobody knows I'm here. and nobody wants to help pass the word. Movements like Beyond the Coal and Beyond the Carbon are what we need to be amplified, says Stokes. Funding policies and movements are the best way to gain leverage and funding advocacy in the big federal policies like the Green New Deal could open up trillions in federal dollars that could be used in turn for things like research and development. You got to do more than damn research and development. You got to do workforce development training and invest in our young people. Cybersecurity, coding, AI, PV installers, PV sales reps, energy auditors. I can give you a litany of arenas that we need to be training our young people in this area. That's all we got is our youth. And they keep hollering this research development. Good. But you better train some people that can program this stuff. Well, I don't know. What do I know? Let me keep reading on movements beyond the New Deal. When you're targeting climate action, you have to think about who is responsible for making decisions, he said. Beyond Coal campaign is a state-by-state campaign because coal plants are approved and shut down at the state level through public utility commissions. And so that was the really good strategy for a particular part of the climate problem. To more grassroots movements as well, he said, like expanding support for large transmission bailouts, are incentivizing battery storage, building up decarbonization in electric vehicles. Transportation electrification is becoming an increasing central part of decarbonization, and several power sectors observers emphasize the need for electrified vehicles in the U.S., which made up the largest portion of greenhouse gases emissions in 2017 at 29%, just beyond electricity, according to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, and through sectors, emissions dropped 10% in 2019, according to a preliminary result released by the January by the Rodin Group. Transportation dropped only slightly, and other sectors' emissions rose, leading an increase of urgency for decarbonization in other sectors. Thinking about the largest sources of climate pollution in California, nationally, we think the invest in some of these funds in electrical transportation would have a significant impact. The next 10 founder, Noel Pareto utility died. Part of that goes back to policy, he said. One of the biggest tools in toolbox public incentives is buying electric vehicles as well as building out charging infrastructure. This is bullshit. It's regulated and deregulated markets. Let's be real. When you are in a regulated market and you are a developer of power, solar power, large-scale power plants, to negotiate the terms of agreement past 10 years, if you can't get 15, 20, or 25-year contractual terms and negotiate directly with the off-takers, who would be the person purchasing the energy from the power proposed a project that you're developing, if you can't go out and identify tech companies or somebody that will buy that energy and will give you a better return than 2.5 cents to 3 cents. That's all the damn utility companies in regulated markets like the Duke Energies in the North Carolina, South Carolina, and any of your southern states where you have regulated markets where the utility controls the generation from the inception through the transmission to the consumer. Let's make this plain. You got gas and oil interests fighting to keep it in a regulated state where they can make their money, and you got the renewables fighting them, trying to get it deregulated. In the meantime, poor black folk, we like don't even understand the politics and what's going on. That's why this show, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact, is the only one breaking this stuff down. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now 12:14 p.m. We're going to take a pause for the calls. We're going to be right back because we're talking about the money now. Okay, here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America, we're going to take another slight pause for the calls, and we'll be right back here on Solar Now and the Future.
Life is a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? What's singing? Why don't you sing it? Life is a song. What's singing? Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know I'm your host, Ronald DeFay. And you know, this week and every week we bring this show. We try to bring news that we definitely think you can use. And if you've been following our conversation today, and you've been listening to how this climate change piece is driving billions of dollars that's coming in from the public and private sector. But how is the historically black college and university with the need to adjust their curriculums at these schools to meet the demand from the private sector if they don't have the type of interchange with the industry coming in from that industry? Now, someone is attempting to contact me right now, but we'll have to speak to them later on because we're in the middle of our show today, and we realize that they probably could care less. But whether here nor there, you know, we understand that this is going to go on with us or without us. Now, as we were looking at this excellent that's been written by Catherine Morehouse, talking about the founder of Amazon and how he's getting ready to putting up $10 million to deal to fight climate change. And people are coming up with all of these different ways of how somebody else spend their damn money. But you can't tell people how to spend their money. But you can definitely, if you got anything that you're doing that's worth if it's worth you putting the work in and dedication in to bring it to fruition, you want to see it grow. Well, what happens to African Americans in this country who have vision on getting things done? It always comes down to not having access to capital. Now, the Amazon Factor, Bose company this fall committed to powering its global facility with 100% renewable energy by 2030. While reaching net zero carbon emissions by 2040, it included in the pledge, it is committed to add 100,000 electric delivery vehicles on the roads by 2030. And install solar panels on 50 rooftops by 2020, a goal the company has already met. Now, this is what's going on with companies who can get these contracts to do installs. Say if I could go out and get an AutoZone or Pep Boys just to give a contract to an African-American installation design company just to do solar installs on their real estate, on their stores. These are the type of opportunities that are not being afforded African-American companies, ladies and gentlemen, as a general rule. And as I talk to these company owners, they got all the reasons in the world why they can't come in the same same room together, but they all got the same problem. I spoke with Mr. Mark Davis, who is the founder of WDC Solar, about starting an organization. We had several meetings here in Washington, D.C., and it was always about the name, and I said, well, what's the difference between a cooperative and an association? And if you look at the what a cooperative does, that's what we are. We are. We do everything in a collective manner for the benefit of the whole, not the individual. Now, if you have members, then the membership determines where you go and what you do. But when you have people who can see the value of what you're doing but don't want to join and put some money where their mouth is, then you get, you know, thank you, brother, and I'm glad you can see my vision. Well, that don't get it done. That don't get it done. I have to keep this platform on the airways. So I'm saying that to say this. When we begin to look at, as part of this commitment, the company is ramping up its wind and solar power investments, and in January partnered with AT&T and Siemens to accelerate electric vehicle deployment. But a company on its scale, the scale could do far more to combat climate change, according to this gentleman, Parkish. Bose has to think beyond the $10 billion. The leverage that he has is not just $10 billion. The leverage he has is Amazon. He has Amazon can utilize its global supply chain network and make it an aggressive green chain. Be clear that we will not do business with fossil fuels. I think if Amazon does that, others will follow. Decarbonization is the supply chain, is a major step in the direction, said Parker. It includes taking responsibility for the actions of the supplier, similar to what the Walmart has began to do. Amazon and other tech companies have also been criticized for pitching fossil fuel companies its cloud services to help them find new oil reserves. You need a mover, a person that would say, you know what I want you to take the bet and stop doing business with fossil fuels, because I think it's time has come where we have to really aggressively look at climate change, said Parkes. And when I would be surprised if others could, cloud commuting companies would follow suit, there would be public pressure. If Amazon can't do it, why can't they all do it? Amazon has forced a backlash in recent months after they reportedly threatened to fire employees who spoke out about their concerns over the company's climate policy. And the coalition of employees called Amazon Employees for Climate Justice were critical of what they framed as a hypocritical stand. We applaud Bo's philanthropy, but one hand cannot give that on the other hand, taking away what the group has said in its statement. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's a reason why this man put this money up. He getting the heat from his employees. Why did Amazon threaten to fire his employees who were sounding the alarm about Amazon's role in climate crisis and our oil and gas businesses? What does this show? That the employees are speaking out. We need more of that right now. Will Jeff Bezos show us his true leadership, or will he continue to complicate and accelerate the climate crisis while supposedly trying to help it? I didn't make this up, ladies and gentlemen. This show today, I think, has bought it 360 degrees as to why we need an agenda. We need a political platform around economic development, platform around this energy piece for black folk, for Reverend Sharpton. Those folks who have folks' ear need to get on board with this conversation, because this is definitely needed here. And yours truly, we do what we can do every week here on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. So we want to thank you for joining us, and those who follow us on a regular basis, we want to apologize because we did not get to our weekly program, a portion called Solar and Renewable Career Opportunities in the DMV Market Area, where we normally provide information on career opportunities by utilizing looking at ZipRecruiter and Indeed and other job platforms, online job career platforms that are out there. You simply put in solar energy and put your zip code in, and those positions will pop right up. So we're not trying to do a free advertisement for them. This is the only way we can get the information out to our folks, is how they go to look and see these jobs. And then if you see the job, then you got to read your qualifications, and you're going to find out about these certifications. So it's a 360-degree circle, ladies and gentlemen. It comes right back. It's a loop. It comes right back at you. Okay? Now, we want to thank those who listen in, those who couldn't get in, and those who don't even know we exist, pushing this envelope and hoping that somebody will get it in the mail. Because we can't even afford a mass mailing right now. And folks are contacting me every day telling me about how they can put bells and whistles put a new turbo to launch this site where everybody will see it, but I don't sell products. And they're talking about I need to be monetizing my traffic. We're pushing all those buttons at the same time. All we're saying is go to positivechangepc.com, click on the GoFundMe link, and push that button. Then we can push some buttons, okay? So that's how that works. It comes in and it goes out. If it don't come in, it definitely sure can't go out. That's how it works. So look, thank you for listening to us again on this week's edition of Solar Now and the Future with Economic Impact on Black America. Until next week, we'll say we ain't gonna meet you there, we'll beat you there. So go. Until next week, till we meet again. Sayonara.
Is a song worth singing. I don't care. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Singing, I got you. Sing it.